Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over a mountain, walk through some valley. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountain, walk through some valley. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said, I'll never forsake you, is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. There's a light guide. I talk with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I asked His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He'll carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast And his way and his love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountaintop so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountaintop so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all this life is over, and our burdens have been lifted, then we stand upon the mountaintop so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Yeah, today's world, we have to keep reminding ourselves. Like Peter said, even though you know these things, eh?
Mm-hmm.
You just got to keep reminding yourself, because there's a world out here, there's society, the spirit of the age, it wants to drag you into this godless society. That's mm-hmm. what the bottom line is.
Mm-hmm. And that's what was commanded to the Israelites. To keep reminding their children and their children's children what the things of God has done for them, how He led them out of Egypt, how He delivered them, so many things He's done for them, and He wanted them to keep reminding them what the things of God.
Well, I'll read it here in Luke. My thought would be, as we heard it, that's what we're just repeating, what we heard. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As we heard, that's what we're telling people. As we heard it, and as we saw it, and as we felt it. Mm-hmm. I know what I saw, and I know what I like I keep saying, I read the Bible all my life, practically. Went to church every day, and twice on Sunday. But I didn't understand nothing until Captain America, Brother Brennan. Then that whole world, biblical world, opened up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a wealth, a heavenly gold mine. And we're just here telling people what we saw, what we heard, and what we felt.
Mm-hmm.
The day I came to the ministry of Brother Brennan. And the devil, he does not like that name. He just hates it with a passion. He does not want nobody to find that gold mine. But we're just telling what we saw, what we heard, what we felt. And I'm just being honest. Like I say, I went to church all my life. We had to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And then German school and Sunday school. And oh, man, just... But it was nothing until I heard the prophet to the age mm-hmm. preach. The church ages, the seals,
mm-hmm.
what happened in the garden, what happened now after Genesis 6, why God destroyed that thing. It was the sons of God mingling with the daughters of Cain. That's what the problem was back in the before the flood. That's it. It was all about filth and sex. And today this world is going out with that same problem. And we're just telling people what we heard, what we saw, and what we felt.
Mm-hmm.
Here I'll I'll read it in Luke 1, just to kind of, you know, you got to have scriptures today because the devil, he can't handle scripture. Now, I've been having a problem in my voice for the last week or two, kind of croaky, eh? And the devil, what he tries to do is try to take away your faith. Well, we can't do that. Then he tries to take my voice. He'd like to shut us up if he could, if you know what I'm trying to say. He'd like to completely make sure that we never speak one more word. Back in the Dark Ages, what these Roman Catholic Jesuits did, these Christians were talking, so they cut their tongue out, so they couldn't talk anymore. They couldn't handle, the devil couldn't handle what they were saying, because what they were saying was the truth, that the devil can't handle the truth. And here in his end time, we're just telling people the truth. So he doesn't like us to hear, so he tries to make us irrelevant. Well, we're done listening to that, and he shuns us, and then gets people to shun us, and to put us in the outs, so that you can't even talk to your children, you know, and to your grandchildren. That's what the devil does. He has the power to do that, because he has got the masses contaminated and intoxicated with the wine of that religious fortification. It's all about religion. It's all about religion and sex. It's all about physical fornication and spiritual fornication. But we're just yanking people back, or trying to yank. You can't even yank people back anymore. Society is so corrupt and so rotten and so intoxicated with religiology and worldliness and the spirit of the age that you just can't seem to penetrate. I'll read it in Luke. For as much as many have taken in hand, now many have undertaken to compile an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Like, we can really say, we can go back. And what that prophet did. Like the accounts passed on to us by those who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word from the beginning. So it seemed good to us as well, because we have followed all things carefully from the beginning, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know for certain the things you were taught. Then he went on to explain what he saw, what he heard. See, Luke, he was not an eyewitness. He just heard people that were respectfully, that he respected that, and he heard it from solid accounts. Then he went and put it in writing, you know. They could send it around. That's all we're doing. We're telling people about that prophet to the age, and we're giving a hat tip to them, like back, you know, you gotta, like people, what they do, they steal our content, and then they go and try to make as if it was theirs. And they do the same thing with Brother Branham talking points and Brother Jackson talking points. We see them, and we know very well they're silently, privately listening on Brother Branham, but they never give him the recognition. They don't tell people. Now, this was the prophet to the age. This was Brother Branham. He was that Malachi 4 prophet, and he was that voice of that seven age. They never tell you that. But we leave, like that John McCarthy. He'd come out and pretend it was his revelation, and pretend he got it, he dug it out of the scripture. But he will never mention where he got it from.
Because a lot of the things that they're now teaching are actually were given to Brother Branham in the hour when he was here. And like when we recognize that these men brought, like these are basically doing plagiarism. They're taking content but never really mentioning the source.
What does that word plagiarism mean? Do you know the meaning of it?
Taking somebody else's work and not giving them the recognition.
That's why we listen to some of these news outlets and these talk shows, but there are some They'll pretend it's theirs, but mm-hmm. there's some hat tip. Mm-hmm. I never knew what hat tip means, but I tell you, I do now.
Mm-hmm.
Hat tip to such and such.
Mm-hmm.
Hat tip to Mark Levin.
Mm-hmm.
Hat tip to Dan Bongino.
Mm-hmm.
Because he dug it out to a live experience. He comes up with a thing. But to you and me, hat tip to Brother Branham. Hat tip to Brother Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we got it from, and we're just translating and telling the people where we got it from.
Mm-hmm.
We did not think that up.
Yeah.
All my life I was in that Bible. All my life I was going to church, Sunday school, German school.
Mm-hmm.
I was overloaded with all the religiology.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know nothing.
I know.
And when I got to the ministry of Brother Branham, head tip to Brother Branham.
Uh-huh.
You know,
when I was young, we were told all the stories in the Bible since we were young, right? The story of Joseph, of David and Goliath, and all these stories in the Bible. There's hardly a story that you aren't told from a child on up. And but I always looked at the stories, and one day I said, this is all good, Lord. But I think I was just 10 years old around there, and I said, but where are we in the Bible? I want to know where we are in this great book and in the mind of God, because, you know, this is all good that these men were in the Bible and the stories that we were told. And then it wasn't until when the Lord saved me and I started reading the Bible, and then I read the book of Revelation, and even John, he saw things when he writes in Revelation 22. He said, and I, John, saw these things and I heard them. He heard these things that when you will read the book of Revelation, he was an eyewitness. He mm-hmm. saw and he heard and he wrote it down and for us to know. And these are the things when I read the book of Revelation, I read the seven church ages and I wondered, what do they represent? And I could not, for the life of me, figure it out myself. I asked around the people that I thought were prominent that would know these things, and they could not give me the answer. And that was things in my heart that lay there, and the four beasts that it talks about in Revelation, these were all questions that I wanted to know that nobody could give me the answer. And I read books. Christian people had written, and nobody could give me the answer. But I came to the ministry of Brother Branham, and there were the answer. That's why I can truly, truly say, really truly say, that there is nothing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've gone through it. Like, I was searching for things in the Bible that would give me the answer, but there was nobody that could give me the answer until I came to the ministry of Brother Branham and then Brother Jackson. That's why, as we saw and heard, that's why we like to go over the things that we saw and heard, so that this generation is made aware of what God has been doing in our time. That's what we are in the Bible. Like when you go over the church ages of Laodicea, that's our church age, the last 100 years that God has worked with the Gentile age and the grace age, the Laodicea church age. That's our age, the lukewarm age. They're rich and in need of nothing.
Amen.
And the parable, the seven parable, what the ministry of Brother Branham and that era all brought with him, that net that was cast. And we saw and heard the things that we talk about here. And if we didn't see it firsthand, we're like Luke. We take it from sources that are really respectable, from Brother Branham and Brother Jackson, and relay it on and build on that. Like a good master builder builds on a project that is solid, that is not going to crumble. It's got a solid foundation. It's built on the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone.
If we keep going back like the reality, like mm-hmm. I say, my dad was the best of the best in that system, and he tried. Oh man, he exhausted his very life till the day he died to tell people about this Bible, and did all he could, but he missed it by a million miles simply because he could not tell me that God sent the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And here I would be doing the same thing, neglecting my God-given responsibility if I didn't tell my children about God sent a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I say, he preached his heart out all his life, and oh man, did he exhaust himself.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he could not tell me what's going on in the church age of Laodicea about these seven stars and the things of that, he failed to do that because he didn't know himself. I don't know what he didn't want to know, because I know he had a church ages, because if you're not willing to lose your life for the cause of Christ, and you were holding back and got afraid of what people will do to you, you're not free to say the truth, you know? Like, we're not ashamed to tell people about Brother Branham. But see, like I say, like for my dad, for instance, like, he kept his back. I don't know whether he knew about the prophet. I didn't know, but he was given. He was given the book, The Church Ages.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you and I, what we're doing, we're telling people what we saw, what we heard, and we're giving the hat tip to the one that belongs, that mm-hmm. it belongs. We got this information because I come up to a dead end. I think for years, I read Genesis from 1 to 6, and I could not understand why that God of heaven would bring that flood on mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, like I say, Allah bought books, said I. Exhausted everything that I knew. And one day, the day I came back from under the ministry of Brother Brendan, and I heard him say, the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain, they were not supposed to mingle, because that daughters of Cain, they were nothing but filth. They come from that serpent creature in the garden
mm-hmm.
that God cursed and turned them into a reptile. And they was the father and the grandfather of all these children up in the land of Nod. Nobody told me that. I had to find it. I had to come to the ministry of Brother Branham. And once I found that ministry, the whole complete Bible became an open book. And that's why I say we can go back from Genesis to Revelation, and we can give people the full counsel of God, because it's all lays in the fact God sent a prophet. And we're going to keep repeating that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you know these things, we'll keep repeating it, because that world out there, that spirit of the evil,
mm-hmm.
it wants to erase that very thing. And the people that were sitting under Brother Jackson, they're actually the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Brother Jackson passed away, the Lord gave me the vision about Gideon. I'm taking the church down to the water, and I'm going to test them. That's God speaking. I'm going to test them to see who is going to be qualified to do what? Not like it was back in the day to go in and defeat the Midianites. Here God is looking, testing. Who is going to be found faithful to deliver meat in due season? And you can go and look at them. I sometimes tap into them. I can't even list them anymore. But I listed that Ted McKay here the other day. He's over at in Europe somewhere over there trying to preach. And it's the same old, trying to prove he's right and trying to prove Brother Jackson is wrong. And it's kind of in a sleazy way. Mm-hmm. They don't come out and say it like that. But when you analyze what he's saying, he's doing exactly that. And exactly what about the dream I had after I had the vision. Then the Lord gave me the dream about minefield,
mm-hmm.
and he let me know they're going to turn the ministry of Brother Jackson into minefield. That you can't even go near him, because when you go and listen to what they're saying, they do one thing only, to destroy everything that Brother Jackson ever
mm-hmm.
said. That's why when you ask the Lord, Lord, why did you put us together? Ever since you put us together, we've been nothing but terrorized, persecuted, shunned, and everything under the sun. everything they could think about us. They threw in our face. And the Lord said to preserve this truth. That's what we're doing. We're preserving this truth, this end time truth, and the church age of Laodicea. What we heard, what we saw, and what we felt. When I was in under that ministry, there was such an anointing. It was heaven on earth. It's the closest thing that I could find on earth that resembles heaven. It was that anointing, that heavenly anointing. And when I was sitting at home on the internet, listening to Brother Jackson, I had so much. It was the point where I couldn't even sit. I had to get on my knees and listen as he was preaching. You could feel that heavenly anointing because it was the vocal cords of Brother Jackson, but it was really behind the scene. It was that angel inspiring him, anointing him what to say, because it's utterly impossible for a human being to be so consistent. You could go back and listen when he started preaching in the 60s, and right up to the day that everything was so consistent and so just, he just kept adding on and repeating the very same thing that he used to say, only with more clarity.
That's what
that angel did.
That's what a wise master builder does. Paul was a chosen vessel to bear the name of Jesus Christ before the Gentiles. And that was the same way in our age. There was a vessel here on earth that God used to bear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what these men were doing. They were revealing the Son of Man, who Jesus is, because going into the dark ages, they were trying to preserve what they had left, because it was taken. It was darkness was setting in, going into the dark ages. But when you come to after the dark ages, light was starting to be shown on truth. So as God was restoring all these things, leading us right to the place where Brother Branham is going to take all the truths that were lost and restore them back to the church of the living God. Now the church world out there is it's not the church we're talking about. We're talking about people that have a desire for the Word of God and will be obedient to it, not to a religious organization.
See, the church world, the so-called church world, the Benny Hens and the Oral Roberts and those big, even Billy Graham, all these big events, they had one purpose and one purpose only, to keep you away from the real thing. And they never told their subject about Brother Branham. I listed that John McCarthy. He's a well-known, world-known preacher out there. Not one word about, one syllable about Brother Brennan, because he was living in that era. Everybody that was living in that era knew about Brother Brennan, knew about raising the dead, healing the sick, all these things they know about. But they will never give you a hat tip to that prophetic minister. That's he somehow wiggling and being led by the Spirit of God. He led me to the ministry of Brother Brennan, and that's when the whole scripture was opened up to me. Now, if somebody would have told me before, but I guess you have to have a hunger that when somebody tells you something, if you don't have a hunger for it, it doesn't mean nothing. Like we've been trying to tell people this thing forever and a day, but very little response because that hunger is not there. But I don't want to go out of this world not having told people.
That's right.
Why we're telling people, and that's why we're giving a hat tip to the ones that deserve and have that respect, because they put their life on the line, all their life. They like Brother Jackson, for instance, he robbed himself from a lot of things so he could present us with the truth. And that's what his whole life was consumed of, telling us about this message, the commission that was given to him. And we're doing the same thing. We don't complain, we don't, because we're shunned and all that. It's all part of the program, simply because we can bring a truth to a lost and dying world. That's the only passion we have in life is to tell people the truth and to tell them where we got it from, what we heard, what we saw, what we felt. Like I say, when I was sitting under that ministry, there was such an anointing and such a reverence and respect. And that's why I learned it. That's mm-hmm. why. That's why we can tell people about what's going on, what has been going on. And what's going on out there in that religious world? It's nothing but tables of vomit. It's nothing but religious filth, because all it's doing, the devil is using it to lead you out to hell and death. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, talking about Abraham, God said to Abraham, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment and all the things." That's why God blessed Abraham, because he knew he will command his household after the Lord mm-hmm. and will not forget the things and pass them down to Isaac, to Jacob, and that they will know how God has led them and called them out of these pagan God worshiping. And the same way here, how God led us out of these religious systems. Like, we heard a voice to come out of these religious systems. And there was someone there that was able to give us something that exceeds these religious mm-hmm. things. And Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson presented us with that. And that's why we want to recognize them. We put Jesus in his rightful place as the Savior of the world, mm-hmm. the one who died for us at Calvary and shed his blood for the atonement of our sins. And then these men were chosen vessels to bear the name of Jesus to a dying world, so that the Gentiles can have an expected end. And we're just continuing being that voice of what God has been doing, and so that people will be able to know there was somebody here that was able to share the great things of God. And not just these religious harlots out there. I mean the wonderful things that God has done in the grace age for the Gentiles.
Back in the day, when the church rejected the prophet of the age, mm-hmm. they were left outside, and they evolved right into exactly what you see out there. Mm-hmm. But the ministry of Brother Branham kept going on. And see what happened, the churches, they put them on the outs. They put them in the shunning, and they almost like they terrorized people that would even as much as listen to Brother Branham. Mm-hmm. And then what happens when Brother Branham goes off the scene, here, the Branhamites, they do the very same thing. Mm-hmm. They terrorize the people that moved down to Brother Jackson and call them a bunch of blackbirds and everything under the sun. And but see, God just kept on a go. That scruff is what scruff does, what scruff is. That's all they do. They can only bark like that dog, and mm-hmm. they can't do nothing. And they can only complain and only put you in the out and terrorize and try to terrorize you. And the Branhamites, they're doing the very same thing that the world churches did to Brother Branham. And here they're doing the same thing to Brother Jackson, the Branhamite do. And then when that moves on, Brother Jackson goes off to see, guess where you and I are at? We're getting that same treatment that's been going on right throughout the ages. Mm-hmm. Like the Christians back in the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. They were killed and burned at the stake and shunned and rejected. And here it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we do it gladly, because there's nothing they can do to us. They can bark and they told Ezekiel, I know what you're up against. I'm just paraphrasing. But I made your forehead a lot harder than theirs is, so you could combat them. And he told Jeremiah, you go out there and use exactly what I put in your heart, and don't worry about what they're going to do, because I got a wall around you. They can attack you, and they did attack you, but they can't do you no harm. Mm-hmm. He told them that. And here's the same thing. They can bark, and they can call us whatever they want. They can shun us and they can take everything away from us, like that song we're singing. They can take everything away from me that I've ever worked for. But there's one thing they'll never take. They'll never take my faith away from me. They'll never take the fact away from me. God sent a prophet. God sent a apostle for mankind in these closing days of time. And here he's given us that responsibility to carry on, because he knows we're not going to compromise. We're not going to buckle. We're not going to buckle under pressure. They can put whatever they want on us. It just gives us gas, because I read some scriptures. Mm-hmm. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and say all manner of evil against you, and therefore they hate you for it. We keep saying the same thing over and over again, because, like I say, if we don't say it, the forces of that filth out there, that religious deception, like all of a sudden everybody and their dog comes out and tells people there's a revival coming. There is no revival coming. The revival came in the 1900s and it kept on going. Then it came in through the ministry of Brother Branham, and all these people out there were preaching with their tent meetings back in the prior to the 60s. And then it dwindled down, and then it came to the ministry of Brother Branham. The revival kept on going. Mm-hmm. And you and I, we're the prime thing from that leftover thing that happened in the 60s. Mm-hmm. We're faithful to what we've been taught, and we're given a hat tip to the things that we've been taught, and to the people that brought these things, that were faithful in their hour. Brother Brennan was faithful in his hour, even though he was shunned from the churches. Brother Jackson was faithful in his hour, even though he was shunned from the Brennanites. And here you and I are faithful in our hour, but we're being shunned by everybody, you know. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter to us. I mean, it gives us fuel.
What's the guy's name that you listened to this week?
John MacArthur.
John MacArthur. Anyway, he had a lot of scripture, and he walked through a lot of scriptures, and scripture after scripture, and scripture after scripture. But you know that Steve Bannon always says, give me some meat on the bone.
Uh-huh.
He wants some meat on the bone. When he sees people talking about something, he wants to see it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want just to hear that they're doing all this stuff, but he wants to actually see the evidence if that's getting done. So he calls it meat on the bone.
Like the Attorney General just keeps talking about the this is coming, the Epstein guys are coming, but never out.
It never materializes. So he says he's gonna believe it when he sees meat on the bone. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is, He had a lot of scripture, this John MacArthur, but he will not narrow it down to what the beasts that John and Daniel saw, where it points you to. You know, if he cannot do that, that the Babylonian Empire, the Grecian and the Persian, and the Medes and the Persian and the Grecian, and then the Roman Empire, and then that Roman Empire evolved into that Holy Roman Empire, Roman Catholicism, and they can't do that, because the minute they're going to do that, they're going to start being persecuted.
The crowds will leave them.
That's right. So they just say things that will never put the meat on the bone, that will never merit them to be persecuted.
You'll never tell the people that the Pope is the Antichrist and the false prophet and the man of sin. It's that papal office. Because the minute he does that, he is going to lose the masses. Mm-hmm. He'll talk about it. He'll insinuate about it. But they'll never hit the nail on that to the point where you're willing to lose your life. That's what I said about it. If you're not willing to lose your life, you're always holding something back. I remember back in the day, went up against that Hutterite thing, and then I asked for permission to join back up with him again. So the Lord got me to write a letter, like they want you to write them a letter so they can examine you, you know, confess all your sins, everything you did wrong on that letter. So I sent them I wrote out this letter, and I left that out about that water baptism in Jesus' name, and about the Catholic Church, and once you get baptized in that Catholic baptism, you become part of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I kind of left that out. So I sealed the letter and I was going to hand it to him. And the Lord came to me. You left out the most important thing. You're going to have to rewrite that letter again and write it the way I want you to write. Well, I was arguing with the Lord. I know very well, Lord, if I put that in there, I have no ever have a chance to ever join up with the community again. Well, but he didn't take that for an excuse. So I had to rewrite the letter, and I had to put it in that letter, knowing full well, if I put that in that letter, what he wants me to write it, never will I ever have an opportunity mm-hmm. to join up with that cult.
Mm-hmm.
And then I handed it in, and then they put me on probation for 6 weeks, and then when the 6 weeks were up, that whole smear came by, that 24 elders and all that, and examined that. So they called me into the meeting, and we got this letter here that you're going to have to get up and deny it and take it back. We can't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I says, why don't we just sit down and discuss and see if it's not so.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not going to tell us what to do, and you're done by the troublemaker. And see what happens with these preachers out there. They're not willing to put their life mm-hmm. on the line to the point where they'd be persecuted.
That's
they're
right.
not willing to lose their life for his sake and the gospel. Mm-hmm. And they're holding back, even though they know it.
Mm-hmm.
They're holding it back because they know if they as much as mention it, they're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with that Pam Bumby, that attorney general, they brag about how good she is, but she can't even bring out those. There was Epstein filed,
mm-hmm.
and the people that were in that Epstein out, because she'd have to give away a whole lot
mm-hmm.
of people that she asked, probably in her administration.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so they hold it back, and then they won't tell you the truth about what the assassination
never,
of John F. Kennedy, that it was the Vatican that did the assassination,
mm-hmm.
behind was the Catholic Church. They can't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you and I, we can tell people.
That's
the
right.
whole council of God. Mm-hmm. We can tell them, had tipped to Brother Branham, had tipped to Brother
yeah.
Jackson, and what's going on in these ages, what's going on with these churches out there. We wouldn't get a very, we wouldn't be very welcome in their meetings, because they wouldn't be able to accept the things that we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it would bring them out in the open to do exactly what they'd be doing. The Branhamites, they don't want to hear it because it puts them out in the open and daylight so that people can see what they're about. I never knew that until the last year or so, that the Branhamites are just as guilty as these churches out there. I thought they'll have a soft spot for it, make them a little bit of a leeway. But no, he can't.
He can't. It's because it's the same. If you're not willing to lose your life for his sake and the gospel.
The reproach of Christ,
mm-hmm.
really, that's what
that's
it is.
That's right. If you just cannot surrender it all, then you're ineffective for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You're really ineffective.
God can't use you.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the heat is on, like we're thinking about sometimes about trenches. Back in the war, you had
mm-hmm.
somebody in the trench. Well, you wanted somebody in the trench with you that has your back.
Yes.
But I've had a lot of people along the journey alive. I wouldn't want them in the trenches with me, because you never know when they put a knife on your back and take their gun to shoot you. You're the only person that I would trust to be in the trench with. And the Lord knew that. That's why he put us together to fight this fight. You can't expect somebody to fight this fight when they're going to stab you in the back.
Mm-hmm.
We've had them come through here. But the minute they get a little bit of footing and a little bit of grip, what do? They go out there and stab you in the back and try to demoralize you and lie up a bunch of things about you. And see, you're the only one that I can trust to go into the trenches. And you and I, we are in the fight for our life. We're in the
mm-hmm.
we're in the fight for this truth. And
mm-hmm.
that's what the Lord brought you together. Brought us together so we can continue with this fight and to present this truth to them. That's why today we're saying what we heard, what we saw, what we felt. And a hat tip to these men that brought it to us, because, like I said, I was at my dead end. I come to a dead end. Like, going to church all your life, go to Sunday school, go to German school, reading the Bible, all in vain until I came to the Minister Brotherhood, and then bingo, just like a giant gate opening up. All of a sudden, you see exactly the Bible from a brand new light. You see reality for what it is, that to be called God sent a prophet. Up until that time, the whole thing is in darkness, the whole church world is in darkness if they cannot come out and say that God sent a prophet and had tip to these two men. That's what we're doing today. We're giving the recognition to them. Amen.
Amen.
And you'll never understand the Bible until you come to that, to the ministry of Brother Brown and Brother Jack, because they're the vessels for the Laodicea church age and the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. Without that angel, you see nothing. And then when Brother Branham goes off the scene, that angel continued with the book according to Brother Jackson. And now he's continuing with the same in Laurent chapter. People like it or not. I have to say it, I'll say it. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. But it's the truth. I don't mind telling the truth. If it wasn't so, I sure wouldn't be the one that's saying it. But when people get it, then they'll be on that. They'll feel that anointing that you and I felt right through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can see. Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another opportunity, Lord, to come and sit with you in heavenly places and to express the things you put on our hearts today, Lord. We just pray you continue to use us for your honor, for your glory. Do with us as you see fit, Lord. Most of all, Lord, I pray you give that increase in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.